Abe Lincoln. Matter of fact, man that killed Abe Lincoln stayed in that house over there for 10 or 12 days.
What, after he killed him?
Yeah.
Is that right?
They never captured him up in Virginia. That wasn't John Wilkes Booth up there. That was another man.
Well, tell me about that. I hadn't heard about this.
Well, right after Lincoln was killed, about 6 or 8 months after he was killed, two gentlemen rode up to the old front and asked if they could spend the night, which wasn't unusual. It was about the only place they could stay in this, and they were trying to cross the river at Catfish Point, wanting to go to Arkansas on the west. The natural crossing was right down Catfish Point. And they asked if they could spend the night. Well, my grandfather saw they were well appointed, they were riding good horses, they were nicely dressed and everything, and a member of education. And however, a lot of visitors came that were not near as well appointed as they were, not near the education that he gave sanctuary to a lot of times. But these two men were that. One was an elderly man, and he said his name was Colonel. The younger man was said his name was Mr. And they sought to spend the night. Well, they let him spend the night, and instead of staying one night, why, they were so agreeable and they made such good company and everything, and they were seeking to get across the river, which was kind of a precarious thing to do. The Yankees still had control of the river, and they had to pick a time to get across, and the way to get across would be in a skiff. And Uncle Charlie, the oldest member of the family, the son of the family, was a fine oarsman, and he put a lot of people across the river, and he had agreed to put these folks across at the proper time, when he could find a time to do it. Well, it so happened that it took some little time for them to finally make the move to cross the river. And the older man never did tell my grandfather that he was John Wilkes Booth, never told the family. But he asked my great-grandfather. Now, my grandfather told me, he said, I'm satisfied that they confided in my father. Because the man was the living image of Booth. He had the scar over his eyebrow here that he'd gotten in a fencing duel with Joe in a play, Shakespearean play, that wasn't playing, putting as much enthusiasm in the act as he ought to, and Booth told him to play up. And he played up, and to such an extent that he marked Booth across the eyebrow, and had that scar there. And said he had his broken foot, broken leg, and said he looked like him. Said he was, that he just looked like the pictures he'd seen of him. And said he was a wonderful conversationalist, because the wonderful Shakespearean conversations. He talked, he recited Shakespeare passages of him. And then at times he'd be very moody. And Mr. told him, said, a young man has had a great sorrow in his life, and said, he is seeking passage to go across the river, I'm under the promise to his folks that I would see him as far as the river. Well, they put him across the river. Charlie did, and went back. And they never heard any more from Booth. And years and years later, there's a young boy in this community named Ashley studying art in Memphis. And a man came to Memphis with the body of, purported to be the mummified body of John Wilkes Booth.